The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday, even though we are recording this first thing Monday morning live on twitch.tv/Vince Russo Live. You could hear this show live every Monday morning. We do it about 10 o'clock Eastern. Just go to twitch.tv/Vince Russo Live. I'm here with Jeff Lane. This is 8 days a week, and we are here to cover the week in the brand, all the shows, everything that went on, everything that was discussed. Jeff, we made it through another weekend. What's going on, man?
We did. And all these shows, guys, you're going to see clips of 9 of our shows coming up. And you get these in video and audio for less than $1 a week. It's $3.95 a month. Zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. If you like to listen to audio on the go, you get your own private RSS feed to pop into your favorite podcast app. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com. Right at the top, subscribe to the Realm Network. And again, no long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Only $3.95 a month, less than $1 a week.
Bro, I got to tell you what happened. Reverend Smiley just said, good morning. Welcome to snowy Colorado. It is snowing in Colorado. I know that because before, guys, I got an itch in my nose. It's an itch, bro. Okay.
It's not the Neosporin.
Don't edit that out either. We're in snowy Colorado, Jeff, because the post office opens at 7:30 a.m. and I wanted to go to the post office before this show. I had some Venom vinyl albums to send out. Bro, listen to what happened at the post office. Okay, bro? I got there before the door even opened, but I got to give the post office credit. They opened that door 7:30 on the nose. On the nose, bro. So I must have got there, Jeff, 7:27. There's 2 people in front of me. We're all a good 6 feet from each other. Right, Jeff? So the first guy goes up to the counter. The second guy goes next in place, and I go inside the post office in place, but I'm still keeping my distance, right? Jeff, I don't have a mask. Oh, God, my nose is itching. Guys, let me tell you why my nose is itching. Every time I go out in public, I put Neosporin up my nose. So if the corona tries to sneak up my nostril, the antibiotic will kill it. So
that's why. Did you read anywhere that says that that's true?
I heard things.
Wow, okay.
So Jeff, there's 3 of us online. Okay. So bro, the first guy goes up as the guy's starting to walk back, and keep in mind, I'm facing him. I got my mouth wrapped in a scarf. Okay, bro. As he's coming and I'm facing, the guy starts hacking up 7 lungs. So Jeff, I turn my head. Like, really? Like, is there anybody at this time that would not turn their head? So I turn.
Did he cover his mouth?
And I hold my breath. Bro, the guy goes out the doors. Once he's outside, okay, I swear to God, bro, like, this is your typical, like, social media, Twitter, internet bullies. Once the guy was outside, guess what he says?
F you.
F***ing asshole. Oh, yeah, bro, you're hacking up half a lung during a pandemic, and I'm not supposed to turn my head. What am I supposed to do, bro? I'm supposed to suck your cough into my lungs? You're the f***ing asshole. Like, and bro, when he went outside, he said it. Of course, he's outside, and then he says it. Like, well, like, I swear to God, bro. People are freaking mental cases. They're absolute mental cases.
Did he cover his mouth?
Bro, he may have had a mask on. I really don't remember, Jeff, because as soon as he started coughing, I turned around right away. So, like, I really don't know. But, like, I'm an asshole, bro, trying to protect myself from your cough.
This is what I'm wondering, you know, with the 6 feet. Can you get the virus from farts? Because a fart could travel 6 feet and go right up your nose.
Yeah, but you got to have no pants on. How's a fart getting through your freaking pants?
How else do you smell it?
What are you talking about, bro? But no air particles. No air particles are going through your pants.
It goes up the part up your back and out, oh, out the. God,
please, man, please.
I'm telling you, man. Mask the farts.
Speaking of pussies, please explain this to me. Please, somebody, we're live on Twitch. Somebody, please explain this to me. You, everybody, Vince Russo is full of shit. Vince Russo's a liar. What? Everything I've been called in the freaking book. Okay, bro, I would cancel this show. I would stop doing this show and not make another dime from this show. Okay, and everybody has this now live on tape. If anybody ever called me out, and I did not answer that call out and stand up to that call out like a man, I would never ever do this show again, because at that point I'm not worthy. I'm a pussy. Okay, guys, I've told you from day one, I am transparent. I am honest. I have absolutely nothing. Guys, I swear to God, the only thing that I would like, and I wouldn't even lie about this. I don't feel bad about anything I did in the wrestling business. Nothing. I feel bad about the JR thing, and I've apologized a million times. Outside of that, because that was like personal. Guys, I don't apologize for anything I did in the fake fighting wrestling business. Nothing. I don't apologize for anything. I wouldn't do anything differently. If I did somebody wrong and I owe them an apology, I'll apologize to them. Bro, the only thing I could have possibly done in my past, Jeff, that I would have been absolutely 100% ashamed about in my life was, you know what? If I had cheated on my wife. I would like that would have been the lowest, scummiest. I would have felt bad about that till I went to the grave. Guys, there is nothing in wrestling I did that I need to hide or that I'm ashamed of. Nothing, bro. It was my, I'm going to drop an F-bomb here. If you got the kids, put on the earmuffs. It was my job, guys. Guys, you want me to go through my list of jobs with you? My first job was I was a dishwasher at Howard Johnson's. Okay, bro. That was a job. I delivered the Long Island Press on Long Island. That was a job. I worked at Sbarro's in the mall. That was a job. I'm trying to think of all my jobs. I was a security guard at one point. I was a substitute teacher at one point. I worked for CBS Publishing at one point. I owned my own businesses at one point. I worked for PC Richards at one point. I worked for the WWE. I worked for WCW, and I worked for TNA. All effing jobs. I have nothing to hide about when it comes to how I did my job or decisions I made. Nothing. Zero. I wronged Jim Ross. I did him wrong. Him and I squashed that well over a decade ago, bro. A long time ago, we squashed that. I was trying to talk JR into joining TNA. Okay, bro, somebody sends me Dave Meltzer's show, okay? See, guys, here's the difference between me and everybody else. Guys, you got to start recognizing this. I want to tell you guys to really start recognizing something. I'm going to educate the audience here, Jeff. I know you already know this. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you got to recognize something. When there is a person on TV or a channel on TV, and bro, the narrative is 100% one way, guys, you have to know that's bullshit. And it's going to go back to an old saying, Jeff, I always said in the wrestling business, bad people do good things and good people do bad things. Guys, I am a good person. I've done bad things. You know, that JR thing was a bad thing. Nobody is consistent 100% of the time. Here's the difference with me. I don't think Bruce Mitchell has ever said anything I've ever agreed with. But when a Meltzer says something, or an Alvarez says something, or even a Wade Keller, and I agree with them, I say it. Or if I give them the benefit of the doubt, I say it. Sometimes, Jeff, I even get you hot. And you ask me, you know, whoa, why are you defending them? This and that. Because I want to show everybody I'm freaking fair. I'm not going to hate like 100% of the dribble that comes out of Meltz's mouth. Okay? So somebody sends me the clip of his Brawl for All show. Vince, you have to listen to this. Okay? So, bro, during the I listened to it, Jeff. It was about 30 freaking minutes. I listened to the whole show. Meltzer does say during the Brawl for All show that I'm paraphrasing now, guys. He basically said, Jeff, it's ridiculous to freaking blame Russo, the guy who came up with the idea. Vince McMahon, it's his company. Every decision that is made is on Vince McMahon, not the guy who's pitching him ideas. So I was like, you know what, Dave, congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Where I make no bones about it. Yes, I pitched the idea. I don't regret pitching the idea, bro. Grown men got hurt boxing for 3 rounds. I don't regret that. Okay. I don't regret that. I don't regret the Brawl for All. I don't regret pitching it. I don't regret doing it. Nobody knew people were going to get hurt. Would I do it today? No, I wouldn't do it today because of what we know about concussions. I wouldn't want to see guys getting punched in the head. So no, I wouldn't do it today, but not because guys pulled hamstrings. But anyway, bro, Meltzer says, you know, guys, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying, Jeff? But in the next breath, Jeff, he's going on and on and on again about how his sources told him that the whole idea with the Brawl for All was to get Dr. Death over, do a program with Austin and Dr. Death. That is not true. That is bullshit. That was never discussed creatively. Bro, if I drug Ed Ferrara in here, he would tell you the same thing. I'm not going to get Ed involved. Ed is out of wrestling. Ed wants nothing to do with wrestling. So you're going to have to believe me. But then again, guys, you got to ask yourself, like, okay, why would Vince lie about that? What would his ulterior motive be? If this was designed to get Dr. Death over and Dr. Death was going to be in a program with Austin 20 years after the fact, why wouldn't Vince say that? It makes no sense. Vince isn't saying it because it's not true. Okay? So, Jeff, I'm listening to his comments, and I'm like, bro, they're not true. Okay? So, Jeff, I email Dave Meltzer at both of his email addresses. And I said, Dave, I would like to come on your show. I don't agree. You know, what you're saying about the Brawl for All is incorrect. I want to set the record straight. I will be cordial. I'm not looking to get into an argument, but what you're saying is incorrect. Okay? Jeff, two different email addresses. Now, guys, I hate to go public with shit like this, but I learned with the dirt sheets, Jeff, if you don't go public, 3 months from now, it'll be, he never sent an email. Am I right or wrong, Jeff?
Yep.
That's why I go public, guys. I don't like going public, but I don't trust these guys. So I let everybody know, Dave, I disagree with what you said. I sent you an email. I want to come on your show. Please answer my email. Okay? This is, guys, this is like Thursday. Jeff, Meltzer is on social media all weekend long and has totally ignored my emails. Bro, didn't even write back to say, Vince, thanks for the invite, but I'm not interested. Nothing. Not even a no. Nothing, bro. Totally ignored. Okay. With that case in point, you guys wonder why me and Jeff do castrating the marks? You wonder why me and Jeff say these guys are not journalists. Journalists don't have an agenda. When Vince Russo is personally writing to Dave and saying, Dave, I want to tell the other side of the story because your information is wrong, and Dave ignores me. Guys, that's not a journalist. That's why we do the show. Jeff, for the life of me, I cannot understand. Bro, you're saying something. Your sources said this. You're so matter of fact about it. I was there. There were only three of us that were there. Me, Ed, and Vince. That's it. I was there. You're wrong. I want to come on your show and talk about it. How do you ignore that, bro? How do you ignore that?
I don't know how you wouldn't have expected anything else. I mean, there's no way in hell he's going to respond to you on that. Kills the narrative. We do a whole show pointing out why he's a fraud. You want to go on his show and tell him he's wrong about things and correct him. There's no way in hell he would ever respond to that email. No way.
But yeah,
and if he did, it would be to say, nah. I mean, he's going to believe his sources over you. No doubt.
But yet he'll go on Conan and Disco Show?
They don't rip him up every week. Guys, I don't know.
Guys, I am telling you, that is why you subscribe to the brand.
Why don't you tell Disco next time they have Meltzer on to slide you in?
I can. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put them in that position, but I sure as hell would ask Disco, hey, Vince is challenging you on this. Why are you not responding to him? I think Disco would ask that question. But guys, I swear to God, you know, again, bro, you talk about pussies. Bro, there is nobody that would call me out and I would ignore them. Nobody. Like, nobody, bro. And you know what? If I was wrong, I'd say, you know what, bro? You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. It's that simple. I would. Can you imagine, Jeff, somebody calling me out and me refusing to have a conversation with them? John Arizzi called me out. John Arizzi called me out. And I said, no, John, no problem. Let's do this. And we freaking did it. I can't. How do you call yourself a journalist, bro, when somebody who was part of the story is trying to tell you that's not true and you're ignoring them, bro?
Well, you said it. That's why we do castrating the marks. That's why we've been doing it for 3 years. We point out every single week why they're not journalists. I mean, he ain't going to change his stripes out of nowhere to get the truth on this. He's got to push his narrative. They ain't going to change.
God, bro, that is so freaking weak, Dave. Then you wonder why I have no respect for you. Then you wonder why I draw paintings of you. This is why, bro. How can you get respect from anybody, bro? Bro, I swear to God, you know what it would have been like, Jeff? It would have been like, you know, it's like accusing somebody of anything. It could be anything, bro, and not getting their side of the story. Bro, it's like I'm accusing a five-year-old kid of taking the last two cookies in a cookie jar from the cookie jar. And then I'm not going to talk to the kid and say, did you take the last two cookies from the cookie? You know what I mean? It's absurd to me. It's absurd. Absurd. And Jeff, can I say something else too?
What if I say no? You're still going to say it, right?
I am. Bro, first of all, I'm going to talk to you while he's not here. Did I not say to Disco, in the next 3 months, people are going to start leaving the WWE and we're going to start getting truths? Did I not say that?
What'd you bet for charity? You made a bet like for charity.
Yeah, yeah. But did I not say that? Is that without him here, there were three of us here. Did I not say that?
Yeah, he knows that.
Okay, well, listen. And again, guys, I'm telling you right now, I don't know the facts. I could only look at the players, and I could only look at the game. Okay, and I'm not even going to mention them by name because I don't know. So I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything. Okay, but I will say this. There was recently a release from the WWE. Somebody was recently released, whether it was towards the end of last week. I don't remember what day. Somebody was released. Okay, bro, this is the first release since I had this conversation with Glenn. Okay, Jeff? So these people are released. What follows less than 24 hours later? Sean Ross Sapp is sent an inter-WWE memo, which only the people in the office got. Sean Ross Sapp gets this inter-office memo and puts it out online, makes it public online, that somebody within the company did indeed test positive for coronavirus. Okay, bro, this is exactly what I said. When I was talking to Glenn about, bro, you notice who's back commentating for WWE?
Mm-mm.
Corey Graves is back.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did say it was a on-air person, but not a wrestler.
No. This is a totally different story. I'm not saying it was Corey Graves.
Right, but he's a suspect because of
that. I tell you something? He would be my number one suspect. I don't know, bro. Guys, I don't have sources telling, so I could tell you it's Corey Graves. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, what I was trying, remember the conversation with Glenn? Glenn, do you think Corey Graves, the lead announcer of Raw, do you think he would be missing Raw if he was just self-isolating? Remember I told him that, bro? I said, Glenn, he would not be missing the show unless he had to miss the show. And here's Corey Graves right back on commentary. Yeah, this is what I mean. These were all the things that Glenn was arguing with me. And, bro, all of this was common sense. As soon as people start leaving the company, more and more shit is going to come out. And if you don't think there isn't a correlation with guys leaving the company and Sean Ross Sapp suddenly getting an inter-office memo, well, guys, you're out of your mind if you're not connecting those dots. And I got to tell you something else too, Jeff. The inter-office memo, if it's an employee, that's one thing. If it's a nameless, faceless employee, that's one thing. Okay, bro? Because, you know, you want to keep that person private. That person isn't in the public eye. You follow me so far, Jeff? But if it is somebody we know, wait a minute, let me get this straight. They fail a drug test and you're going to tell us they fail the wellness policy? You're going to put their name out there? And you're not going to tell us what they fail for, but you're going to make it public. But then they come down with the coronavirus and that person, that remains a secret?
Well, of course, that makes the company look bad.
Exactly. Guys, what was I saying when I started this soliloquy at the top? What was I saying? Agendas, guys. Agendas. Agendas. And I told Glenn they were never, ever, 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 ever publicly going to say somebody got sick with the virus ever. Bro, every freaking major sports organization has said it. And they've said who the person is, whether it's a minor leaguer, whether it's a professional, they've said, because that's news, bro. Every freaking, I don't know, bro, there may be some celebrities in secrecy. I just saw a 20-minute Pink interview yesterday. Pink had coronavirus and her kid had it. And they're talking about it publicly to let people know what to look for. This is what you're going to go through, etc. Guys, it is bad on them that somebody came down with this and they're still doing live shows. They're still going to the Performance Center. That's why it's a big secret. And that's what I'm trying to tell you people, guys. You got to look through shit. You know, Meltzer not wanting to talk to me. Look through shit. Look through that shit. We're all freaking shades of gray, bro. There's some good in us. There's some bad in us. We're human beings. But when there is an agenda, it is 100% one way, and you've got to take that shit with a grain of salt.
Ready to get to the brand?
No, let me address some punk. Some punk says,
not that I'm complaining, but why aren't you going to save the ranch for chicken necks?
Let me tell you
something. That sounds just like him. That's his voice.
Some punk. Let me tell you something, bro. I got about 8 million rants in me with all this shit going on. That for me to cover all my rants on chicken necks, it would be a 3-hour show. I don't have 3 hours to do a rant show. So you get numerous successive rants on chicken necks. If something's really, 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 really bothering me, bro, I can't sit here and wait till Wednesday. Bro, you see, here's where you don't win with these people, Jeff. What were they telling us a couple days ago? Oh, bro, when you release a show, it's 5 days after the fact. It's not timely, this and that. Okay, bro, so something happened over the weekend. So then I'm going to wait till Wednesday to talk about it, which is now 4 or 5 days later. And then you're going to come back and say, oh, Vince, but that happened on Friday.
What's the first thing he said? Not that I'm complaining.
If he wasn't complaining, he wouldn't have wrote it. Some punk,
no, he's curious. He's a smart ass. He's funny. He's being funny. All right, fired you up.
Let's do the news, man.
Well, it's not news. It's clips from this week.
Let's do the clips.
We open up the week with castrating the marks. And in this clip, the Young Bucks are talking with AEW, one of the AEW referees about their first meeting with Tony Khan.
Tony got me on the phone, and I'll tell you, like, man, it wasn't immediate. But I talked to him, and I'm like, God, the guy just knows his passion for this. Mm-hmm. And he got in my head, and he convinced me.
Well, then we met him.
We met him in London.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
And we had a chat with him, and that was it. He shows up in a Young Bucks bomber jacket. And oh, dude, immediately,
dude's
I'm
a
like,
huge mark.
I love that, though. I'm like, this guy's genuine.
Yeah, sure he is. Oh, sure absolutely. Is. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm really wondering when he goes, like, he's thinking this guy's genuine. I'm wondering, is he really thinking that, or is he really thinking this guy's a huge mark? And of course, he can't say that.
You heard Disco said on one of our shows, remember how they made fun of the fans under their breaths and stuff like that? So maybe he is, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Hey, bro, that just goes to show how stupid Tony Khan is. So, like, you're telling these guys off the bat, I am a super mark for you guys, whatever you guys want, however much money you make. Like, that is so freaking stupid, bro.
Yep. Seriously, you're like, blank check. That's what they see when you show up like that.
Hulk saw that in Dixie. Bro, by the way, 11 o'clock last night, Dixie Carter texted me.
And we really didn't discuss that in our analysis of that clip. When I played it for Disco, you know, the referee, she called Tony Khan a mark in that clip. And Disco said, could you imagine a WWE referee calling Vince McMahon a mark? Oh
God, I can't. I can't, bro.
It's a different culture there, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. Wow. Yeah, when you put it that way, bro, like, wow.
All right. Well, also
that referee's from Rocky Mountain Pro. You know,
didn't she? She wrestled there, right? Like,
I don't know what she did there. I know she was.
I think she was a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good idea though to be calling a boss a mark.
Well, that's the thing. I guess they're all pals. You know.
Yeah.
It seems like they're more friends than you know, not being there. Obviously, it's coming across that way.
Yeah. It shows it on their show, bro.
Well, also released on Monday. Mr. versus.
If you guys want to know what the problem with AEW is, seriously, guys. If you want to know, are you all right, Jeff?
Yes, I know how long this show is going to be.
If you guys want to know how bad AEW is, I'm going to put it in a nice little box for you, a tiny little box. I'm going to put this is how bad AEW show. This is the problem, guys. This is the problem. Watch This Is the Elite. Watch that show. And understand how funny they think that show is. They think that show is off the charts hysterical. They think it's, you know, the second coming of Curb or Seinfeld or any other great comedy. They think that show is hysterical. And I watch that show, guys. I don't even crack a smile. It is so not funny. It is so lame and it is so stupid. Watch that show, bro, and you'll know who their audience is and you'll know why nobody else, no normal people like you and I enjoy AEW just by watching that show. They think this shit is comedy gold and it is not funny at all. Watch that show, and then you'll understand why the numbers keep going down more and more and more and more and more every week. That show's like a bad sitcom that they would allow to stay on the air, even if it were down to 10 people watching it.
Can I go?
You can go.
Okay. Also on Monday, Mr. versus Mrs., the debate show. With Big Vito and Noel, and here's a clip from the latest episode.
Today, like, you know, like, we're watching the old videos, old rap videos, you know, and who's my favorite? Where did it all start out? On the streets, right?
Biggie Smalls,
right? And the guy was saying, is this what you want to see, people? Is this what you want to see, me and Big Boy? You know, Skull Von Crust?
He didn't say
Skull Von Crust. He did.
Now you were rapping with Biggie Smalls.
He's a rapper, too.
You were a rapper the same way Randy Savage rapping was a rapper.
With Biggie Smalls back in the day.
Theo, how many lies are you going to tell in one episode?
I was rapping with Biggie Smalls.
So far, you've been a rapper. You've been in the Knicks. What else did you do that we don't know about?
Shake up, bake a candlestick maker.
I've never seen you bake anything in your life.
Bitch, I can bake.
Bitch, bake me something now.
No, I'm tired.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What else did you do? Were you like a snake handler, a belly dancer?
Was a stripper.
I know that one. You got your goddamn stripper glitter all in my computer keyboard. Vito, maybe next week we should just have a debate. Who is the real Vito LaGrasso? Is he just Vito
LaGrasso? Alexa, who is the real Vito LaGrasso?
Seriously, send help. Send help. I'm going to kill him. I can't stay in the house with him anymore. You killed her. She died. She died. She ran away.
Now, in that show, Vince, they end up debating whether adults should play video games. I think you know my answer to that, although most people don't consider me adult. How do you feel about that?
Bro, you know with me, I'm okay with adults. Listen, guys, especially in this time, whatever you need to do to relax and chill, okay, I have no problem with whatever that is, guys. Bro, I like my albums. I like putting them up on Venom Vinyl. I like listening to them. I like putting them in Discogs. I like doing that. That is a hobby. If there's something you enjoy, bro, I'm 1,000% for that. You know, and as long as it's legal, I'm cool with that. Bro, I'm cool with wrestling fans. They enjoy that, bro. They watch the show. They go to the show. They go to the conventions. I'm cool with that. Everybody knows what I'm not cool with is crossing the line into obsession. When you are obsessed with something, I think it's dangerous. And I think the obsession with video gaming is, okay, how long are you playing? That's the obsession. To me, that's the line. How long are you playing these games? Bro, if it's at the end of the night, whatever, and you're looking to kick off some stress and you're playing video games for an hour or 2 hours, no problem. Bro, you're playing video games for 7, 8, 6 hours. To me, that's a problem. Bro, I've got 3 video games right outside my door here. I'll sit down. I'll play a couple of games. I'm done gaming less than an hour. That's it.
Because you can't beat the first screen on Space Invaders.
Right, but I'll play Pac-Man. All right? After less than an hour, guys, I'm done. So it's like anything else. I don't have a problem with adults playing video games. How long are you playing them? That's what it comes down to. No DQ. I have played Zelda. I've played the original Zelda. So don't be cute. All right? I've played Zelda. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
On Tuesday, talks with Taylor Hendricks. She had on Vicky Guerrero this week, and in this clip, they are talking about Chris Benoit and the Dark Side of the Ring episode.
I was so enthralled, and I was so emotionally affected by it that I actually messaged my parents, and I was like, please, I know you guys don't like wrestling. I know you guys aren't really interested in it, but sit down and watch these 2 episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. It is going to explain so much about the lifestyle, the stories, the obstacles, the unforeseeable variables, and all these different things. And I was like, I think you guys would really understand exactly what I've been dealing with since I was 17 years old, so more than half of my life. And they sat down and watched it, and they were speechless. You know, there are so many people out there that watch wrestling and they think they know so much of what's going on, and they really have no idea. Even the people that want to think they're smart, or even some of the wrestlers that are in the business who like to perform for writers who want to give them 5 stars who've never even been in a ring, and they base their self-worth on whatever those writers say. Like, there's just so much going on, and people like to think they're smart, but we get put in these situations and we never learn from people that came before us, really. And that's what I really got out of watching that and hearing you speak. You were so, I'm going to keep using this word because I think it's the best way to describe it. You were so candid. You were so honest and truthful, and it was heartfelt. And I would you be willing to talk about what it was like for you to actually do that docuseries?
Yeah. You know, my nephew, Chavo Guerrero Jr., called me and said, you know, we want to do this project to show the other side of Chris Benoit, because, of course, Eddie and Chris were very close. And there's a lot of dynamics between me, Nancy, Chris, and Eddie. We were always hanging out together. And everyone knows Chris Benoit as the murderer, you know, that killed his family and hung himself. But we knew Chris as a different person. I mean, Chris was this giant teddy bear that was very quiet. I mean, of course, it was just me and Chris and catering. You know, we would sit down and have a whole conversation with each other. Chris and Nancy were very important to me, because when Eddie passed, Nancy stayed with me, you know, for, gosh, the whole 2 weeks, and even longer than that, because she was the one who actually got me out of bed, which I talk about in the episode. Because I was just a mess, you know, when Eddie passed. Chris is, people don't know Chris on a personal basis. So this was really important for us to say, yes, he murdered his family. He hung himself. But without Chris's legacy and Nancy's legacy, and, you know, wrestling wouldn't be where it is today. And Nancy still isn't accepted into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I'm really angry about, because she contributed, you know, we talked about this, you know, there's so many women that contributed to what the wrestling industry is today. And she was one of my mentors before I even knew her. I mean, I just loved her style. I loved her confidence and those evil eyes that she had, and getting to know her as one of my sisters and just loving her so much. And then now that how life just turns around and I was the manager, I had her so close in my heart because everything that she did, I was trying to make her proud. You know, so we wanted the fans to really see how beautiful all these people were and how important they were. And Chris was really heartbroken about Eddie passing. And we kind of saw little signs, but just some information. Back then, you know, in the 1986 is, you know, through 2004 when Eddie passed, you know, when he passed away, the guys were not allowed.
You know, I there's a lot to talk about from that, but she talks about, you know, Nancy belonging in the Hall of Fame and stuff. They'll never put her in because of all the Benoit talk that would come with that, you know, and the spotlight put on that.
Yeah. Gosh, Eddie passed away in 2004. 16 years ago, bro. Is that what she said?
I thought it was 5 or 6.
Well, okay, but it was, she said,
yeah,
4.
Yeah. It was around, yeah, but time. I think, yeah.
I'm not going to address Ronda Rousey. I want to try to address something Beefus is saying here on Twitch, that he's sick and tired of these MMA people burying wrestling, this and that. You know, Beefus, let me tell you why I'm not tired of it. Because here's the problem, bro. This era of professional wrestling, these guys, bro, they take it so effing seriously. That's the problem, bro. If I'm an MMA fighter and I'm looking at these wrestlers today and how seriously they take wrestling, yeah, bro, it is a joke. It is a joke, and I am going to laugh at them. So I'm not sick of that, because I've been saying for years, bros, will you guys stop taking it so freaking seriously? It's supposed to be two guys in a ring working together to make the people believe the fight is real. That's what it's supposed to be, bro. So when it starts going to your head and you start thinking you're the real deal, yeah, bro, people in MMA are going to laugh at you. And they're going to say, yeah, bro, you want to see how real it is? Then step into our world and we'll show you how real it is. I think CM Punk got a little taste of how real MMA is compared to wrestling. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, anything to say on the clip?
In that whole story, poor Nancy, God, bro, it's like she's not even the victim. It's like she doesn't even, you know, her and her son, you know, rarely get talked about. You know what I mean, bro? And yes, she had a career in professional wrestling, you know, way, way before she, you know, she married, you know, Benoit, whatever the case may be. She had a great character. She was great. A lot of people, you know, took from her. A lot of people copied her. She was a great influence. And yeah, bro, I mean, not that the Hall of Fame matters. That shit doesn't matter. But I wish Nancy would be recognized as a great, great talent before her time in professional wrestling, man.
And on Wednesday on the Raw SmackDown review with Stevie Richards and Ben Hameen, you guys in this clip are discussing the metrics that are put out there by WWE.
Nobody's over. Nobody, bro. You just saw the Raw after WrestleMania. Nobody's freaking over on those shows, bro. Nobody.
I keep it Raekwon, man. Wu-Tang Clan. We only do this for certain people, certain family, certain heads who get it. And that's how I approach my life, man. I'm not out here to please people, be a people pleaser. I'm here to talk some truth on a little bit of everything. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, no, but that's okay. But as a business owner, and as all of us having our own businesses, Vince has said it multiple times that, yes, we appreciate the support of the people that are always going to support us as long as we stay on track with what we're doing. How do we reach our casuals, our outside people, like 8 billion people in the world? I look at my numbers. It's like, man, I got about 7.5 billion minimum that I can reach with the programs. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that makes you better. They're living sort of in their echo chamber. And the way we look out of touch is because the numbers we look at and the numbers they promote now, they promoted WrestleMania as having 14 million social interactions. We live in a time and an era where What do we care about? Pay-per-view buys, ratings. So that's where the three of us, I think, are out of touch to them. But also, they're looking at it. They're vanity metrics. How are those conversions?
They're not. Engagement is one thing. For to turn your followers into your advocates through engagement, sure. But just to put out a number when the negative feedback is 75% of that number and not sell for that, to juke it just so you can have whatever in your vice president meeting and throw out a number to your stockholders, when you're asking for real-time feedback, you're not telling the true metric of what's going on. They're not pulling the wool over true analyst eyes like ours when they do that kind of stuff. And they know from the inside that they're fluffers and they're liars when it comes to that type of shit, because what you said, ratings equal advertising sales. Ratings are super important that way. And then buy rate on pay-per-view is what equals a bonus. None of that stuff of engagement drives that. The only thing you can do is sell engagement to would-be advertisers who are going to get a push through social media from you. And again, it's a false metric that you're selling them just a number, because they don't really know on the cost per click that it's going to be a negative look attached to their brand. You're not selling them that side of the thing. So,
and you know, you guys talking that clip about, oh, they promoted 14 million social media mentions or whatever during WrestleMania. Okay. Well, there wasn't 14 million people watching. So it's the same people just saying the same stuff. If I go on Twitter and I mention WrestleMania 37 times, why does that matter? Why would I count as 37 mentions? So that number is so inflated. And like you guys say, it's not a good representation of what's going on. But that's, I mean, you really, that's all they got to promote, because the real numbers of how many people are watching is embarrassing compared to what they used to do.
Yeah, that's all they have to promote, bro. You know, and again, guys, what did I say at the beginning of the show? Agendas. They're not going to talk about their ratings. Nobody's watching that show. So what are they going to talk about? Oh, how many times people talked about us on social media? Okay, well, what are they saying? I guarantee you it's at least 50-50 burying the product. I guarantee you, if not more, I guarantee you. So again, that's the agenda. That's what you guys have to start seeing through.
And on Thursday with Stevie Ray on Black and White, you guys were talking about the 5G stuff that's going around. And Stevie makes an interesting comparison with radar in 1918.
Well, you know, if you know anything about what happened in 1918, and I'm not going to get into that, but it's a lot of similarities. Because you remember back in 1918, you know, our bodies.
Stevie, you're asking me, did you hear what you just said? If you remember back in 1918.
If you studied it.
Stevie, I was born in 1961.
Wait a minute.
I don't know how old you are, bro, but I can't remember back to 1918.
Well, you know, I've read about these things. When I wasn't saying you remember per se as the way I put it, but I was taking it in context.
Similarities.
I assume you knew a little about what happened in 1918, but if you don't, I will tell you and edify your audience. If you do, then you can do it.
I don't have a clue. That's why I'm asking you. That's why you're on this show. What is it, Wrestling with History? That's why you're on this show.
Wrestling with History is what I do with my partner in crime, Avi Klein.
We're going to put that over to nauseam at the end of the show, I promise. But please, please smarten me up with the similarities to 1918. Bro, you got to understand. Let me explain something to you.
I want to know why you're screaming at me.
Because you got, listen, you got to take it as something in consideration.
No. I don't appreciate you screaming at me,
I was once
chastising me on the show right now.
When you were studying 1918. This was probably the same time that I was a world champion. So when I was the world champion, bro, I had media. I had to go meet people, you know, meet and greets, big meetings with people. So while you were studying 1918, I know you were never a world champion, so it's hard to relate. So now I'm giving you props. I know, bro, during that time you were studying your history. Smarten us up. Smarten me up, man. That's all I'm saying. Come on now.
Well, back when the Spanish flu, or whatever they called it back then, the outbreak in the pandemic that had in, that that happened in 1918. Once it was all broken down and they all dissected, what they found out that a lot of the disease had went from country to country and person to person because of radar. That was when radar was just starting to become the big phenomenon that it was. And as you remember, radar really became to its head in World War II that started in 1938, 1939. So 1918 is when everybody was working on these new radar, you know, systems around the world. As it pertains to that, they found out it was actually what people were getting, these flu-type symptoms, from what was in the air, not from what they were touching. So when you talk about the 5G thing, that's the comparison that people are talking about, that scientists are talking about, that's not been permitted to come on mainstream media outlets. This is what scientists are talking about and letting the people know right now, 5G. And then if you think about, okay, what country really has a whole lot of 5G going on? United States of America. Okay. Oh, maybe that's why so many cases. Well, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as to how people say. You see what I'm saying?
And on the other side of the coin, I wonder how far along a country like Russia is with that, which you just pointed out. I can't see they're as advanced as we are when it comes to that.
Well, let's put it like this. Their cases are very low, and they neighbor the very country of which it's supposed to have started.
And that's been an interesting subject on some of our shows. You know, you've mentioned it, you know, Ben and Stevie and Disco's, you know, got given his take on it, how he doesn't think it makes sense. But, you know, that's something to think about. I never heard that about the radar. That was the first I was hearing it, that, you know, the whatever, was it the Spanish flu or whatever, 1918 spread through radar? I had never heard that before.
Yep, it spread through radar, bro. They found that out after the fact. Bro, listen, there was a lot of talk about 5G years ago. When they first started talking about 5G, bro, I'm talking about 2 years ago now, people were saying, bro, that's going to be dangerous. I mean, there was a lot of talk about that. People forget about that shit because of what's going on now. Okay, bro, now all of a sudden, okay, people are dying and they're putting up 5G towers. Is it coincidental? It could be. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. It's worth talking about.
Also on Thursday, every week, Goldie's Closet with Goldilocks. And here is her clips of the latest episode.
You have not only books, but you have programs. And you have all of these resources. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to go pay attention to this man. Oh, here's Doctor getting ready for this. And I'm like scrambling. And I was like, wow, look it. I actually got ready, got my makeup done, my hair. Forgot the brassiere. Pardon me, doctor. But I'm here again.
I remember that you put together a magazine and you had me in either the first issue or one of the very first issues of your digital magazine. There it is. Look at that. Where I basically said, the planet has sent us to our room. It has sent us to our room, and it has basically put us in solitary confinement. And what it is an enforced spiritual retreat. This is a good thing. This is our opportunity to actually reconnect with the people that are close to us, the family and friends, loved ones, spouse, whatever it happens to be. But it's also a time when the world says, stay in your room or go inside. I look at that metaphysically, and what that means is go inside yourself. Well, first of all, I wrote this book as I was on a mission. So Money, Love, Speed is designed to help somebody that is broke right now. Because I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to starve. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be poverty. I know what it's like to wonder, where's the meal? Where's the food? Where's the break? When's it all going to change? The very first chapter is what to do right now if you're in an emergency. So there's numbers. There's things that you can do. People can call right now if they're suffering, if they're homeless. There's things to do. That's the very first chapter, because I thought, they're not going to read the rest of the book if they're homeless. The meaning you give an event is the belief that actually attracted the event.
On Friday, on the Triple Threat Podcast with the franchise, Shane Douglas. Shane is giving his thoughts on the Firefly Funhouse at WrestleMania.
That this is like the ultimate insider's inside joke that nobody gets other than the three people sitting in the room writing this shit. You know, because again, my brain is so all over the place. I was so thrown by that shit that I just watched. But no question. As I've been saying all along, and we are now seeing with the ratings for AEW and WWE's piss poor performance leading into WrestleMania on the ratings, somebody has got to get their head out of their ass and realize that whether you want to or not, all those 45 to 50 million fans that have tuned out all those years ago, you got to do something to bring them back. And I'm going to take a real crazy stab in the dark here and say that that kind of shit won't do that. Anybody that might have tuned into WrestleMania because they had coronavirus and were delirious and hallucinating, or they were just so bored out of their skull from being stuck in the house and said, what the hell, let's give it a try. Anybody that used to watch wrestling, that loved wrestling, make sure you know the difference of sports entertainment and wrestling, that used to love wrestling and saw that shit, said, that's it, I'm done, gone forever. That's embarrassing. If I was the one that wrote that, I'd sure as hell be putting a pseudonym on it. And I sure as hell be putting somebody else's name on it. I'd be saying Ric Flair wrote it.
Right.
You know, but I sure as hell wouldn't be taking credit for it. Wow.
Yeah, I saw the clips on Twitter the night of, because everybody was sharing it. And I saw how bad it was just from that. But I was like, I want to watch it objectively. And I'm going to go into it with an open mind and not being cynical and not just looking to rip it. And there's no redeeming qualities. It was bad. It just was bad from top to bottom.
But there's one thing that Chad did like about it, Shane, and you'll love this. You'll appreciate this. John Cena's hair. He loved his hair.
I did like his hair. I thought his hair was – I thought it looked very good.
Magnificent coif, I got to say.
It looks very good.
Looks fantastic and hasn't aged much, right? But I woke up at 3:38 or something in the morning I guess it would have been, what, Sunday night or Saturday night, whatever the second day
Sunday.
Was.
Yeah, Sunday.
And to go in and tinkle in the toilet. And I turned on my phone just for a quick second just to see if there are any big headlines, like had the world stopped turning or something. And I saw the picture of Cena beating up a puppet. And I was on the phone texting and forwarding it to everybody going, do you believe this shit? Incredible. I mean, I Lou Thesz just did a pirouette in his grave. Harley Race, poor guy, just buried, right? He's trying to claw himself out to you know, imagine the comeback he could have right now. Wow. I mean, the apocalypse is truly upon us.
And guys, if you are a super bro or up on Patreon, you can check out Vince and myself did a watch along of the Firefly Funhouse if you want Vince's thoughts. And that will definitely be up by the time the show comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, you know, Jeff, a lot of people ask me, I got to see it. I got to see it. I got to say, I have not seen it. Enough people have asked. Jeff and I will watch it, you know, after this show. And then we will do a separate Patreon and we'll talk about it at patreon.com/RussoTWC. What else, Jeff?
Also on Friday, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. And after the big self-isolation versus quarantine debate from the prior week, Vince, you sat out this episode.
Yes.
And your son, Will, took your spot. And here is some of Disco's thoughts on that. But we are not joined by Vince Russo, just like on Time Out. Because he stuck to his declaration that he was going to be disco free this week, so he has sent his awesome son Will to take his place.
No. Will's not Vince's son. Okay, because Will is a man.
Oh wow,
man enough. You know, Vince is bro. Well, Jeff, what was the response to last week's show? Pretty much overwhelmingly
positive.
Did a lot of people say it was the best show? How? What percentage of people responded said it was one of the best shows we ever did?
I got a lot of those. I would say price on the feedback that I got anywhere that I saw was 95% positive, I would estimate.
All right. Well, Vince has going to be very accountability to his fans that he's not following up. I mean, the brand members obviously are going to be very upset about this. I would think in the way well, they should be. I mean, would you agree with? Would you if you're a brand member?
If 95% of the people like the show. That kind of proves my point that people like the show because they like to watch him going nuts.
Right. Okay. So would we agree here that this is a bad for his fans to follow the show and pay the money and been doing this for years, right? That we come out of a show and there's a lot of anticipation.
It's like the show after WrestleMania.
Absolutely. And Vince has declined to be on the show.
He told me last night, too, because I thought it was going to be the four of us.
That's what I thought, too.
And then I texted him. I think I texted him last night because we usually do bro show on Thursday. We record it. So I'm like, are we doing bro show at 7 and then LTBD at 1? And he texts me like this morning, just you're doing it. I'm sitting out. I'm like, oh, okay.
How does it make you feel?
Bro, it's like when you can't call your boss to let him know you're sick, or you can't break up with your girlfriend over the phone. You got to like do it through a text,
right?
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, but how do you feel about the fact that Vince has declined to be on the show this week?
Of course, if you want Will's answer to that, you can get that on the show. But Vince, tomorrow,
there are a lot of people, Jeff, that say I got a lot of comments saying Jeff was fudging the numbers. There were a lot of people that did not like that show, bro.
I didn't fudge any numbers. I said specifically what I saw.
Yeah.
I don't keep stats.
No.
That was by far the most praised show that we've had that I've seen. You hear from three people, four people, and you think that's the narrative.
Wow.
But you'll be on tomorrow, and that'll be your first time talking with Disco since then. So
yeah. No, I listen, bro, I needed a break from freaking Disco. Regardless of what happened the week before, I needed a Disco break. I've been dealing with that freaking lunatic every freaking day for the last, I don't even know how many years. I needed a Disco break. I took my Disco break. I will be back tomorrow, bro.
Don't think you guys want to miss that episode. And of course, we wrap up the week now on Saturday. Bucket full of chicken necks, and in this clip, you are talking about the Brawl for All and Vince McMahon's role.
The Brawl for All was one of the ideas on that list. Okay, bro? The Brawl for All was not one of these angles that Ed and I like really needed to do. You know, this wasn't Austin McMahon. This wasn't Austin and The Rock. This wasn't the main angle, the storyline of the show. That's not what it was. So quite frankly, part of the pitch for the Brawl for All was shits and giggles. You know, JBL thinks he's this tough guy. Let's see if he really is this tough guy. It wasn't vital to the show. Vince poo-pooing the Brawl for All had no effect on the show. None. It was like a featured gimmick. Of course, bro, Vince being Vince, wanted to see this. That's how Vince is, bro. Vince wanted to see the wrestlers box each other to see who was the toughest. We all know Vince is a manly man. There's no sick. Vince wanted to see this. Okay. So Vince gave the pitch, gave the idea, the green light. Now, bro, Vince could have sat there and said, well, guys, if we look at this real closely, guys could get hurt. This could happen. That could happen. Yada, 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 yada. But no, Vince said, I like it. Let's do it. Okay. That's my first point. So Vince makes the decision to do it, which I got to tell you, I was quite surprised by. But yeah, we pitched it. I'm not denying that. And I pitched it because of the reasons why I stated I'm not denying that. But Vince approves it and Vince wants to do it. Now, if you watch the Brawl for All, you know, of.
Now, I saw that episode, Vince, of Dark Side of the Ring. And to me, you know, and I know to you and a lot of people, Vince McMahon's role was like completely wiped out of this narrative. Like, I mean, it wasn't even mentioned. It wasn't even discussed. To me, it seemed like the entire point of the episode was just to blame this whole thing on you.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, not only that, after the episode, I got a DM from a writer. I'm not mentioning his name. A writer who was there. And he said firsthand, Vince wanted to do the Brawl for All at NXT. So,
yeah, bro, he tweeted that out publicly, too.
Yeah. After all that, Vince wanted to do it again, but all these pansies will not mention Vince McMahon, bro. All these freaking pansies.
But why didn't the guys doing the show ask those questions, you know? And if they did, why would they cut him out? Like, why wouldn't they ask them, you know, what's Vince McMahon's responsibility in this?
Jeff, let me tell you something about, I love these guys with Dark Side. Is it called Dark Side of the Ring?
Yes.
I love these guys. Two guys, Evan and somebody. They got an agenda. Hey, guys, everybody. Guys, you want to know what our agenda is? Let me tell you what mine and Jeff's agenda is. I'll speak for Jeff. Guys, we have one agenda and one agenda only. One agenda, guys. Guys, I don't care if you get the Meltzer newsletter. I don't care if you watch AEW. I don't care if you're a Cody Rhodes mark. I don't care if you're a Jim Cornette mark. Okay? We have one agenda only. Here's our agenda, guys. We want you to subscribe to the brand. That's our agenda. And we will entertain the shit out of you in order to make that happy. That's the agenda. Wrestling from the Dark Side has an agenda. And if you look at their episodes, bro, and I'm going to tell you something else too, Jeff. I'm going to tell you something to look for. Hold on. If you look at their agenda, they are trying to desperately create a Vince Russo, Jim Cornette feud. First of all, bro, there is no feud because the guy is not going to engage me in his ridiculous act. Okay, bro? The only time I address Jim Cornette is like Pritchard, like Bischoff, when they outright lie. Now you've got to be addressed because now you're lying. There is no Russo-Cornette feud. Okay? I have no thoughts or concerns about Jim Cornette whatsoever. These guys are trying to build this Jim Cornette, Vince Russo feud. That's their agenda. Here's something that's going to be very interesting, Jeff. I'm telling you right now. Did you notice what the last episode of this season is?
I didn't see the schedule, so I don't know which one's last.
Oh, the last episode is Owen Hart. They didn't interview me. They didn't interview me, bro. So this is going to be another Brawl for All. Oh, it was Russo's idea to do this. Russo's idea. Interview Cornette. Let Cornette cut his another promo. Those guys have an agenda too. Guys, everybody has an agenda. Our agenda, subscribe to the show. I'm telling you what our agenda is.
To subscribe to our show and fulfill our agenda, all you got to do is go to russosbrand.com right at the top, subscribe to the Realm Network. There are zero long-term commitments, so you can opt out at any time. It comes out to less than $1 a week. You get all these shows in video and audio. Listen on the go with your own private RSS feed supplied by the Realm Network. Pop it into your favorite podcast app. You got up to a whole month to download and keep the videos, guys. RussosBrand.com. Subscribe to the Realm Network. Of course, you can check me out I do some things on the side, patreon.com/JeffLane22. I do some Raw reviews, SmackDown reviews. I do video game stuff. I'm going through the show Lost episode by episode. You can get in starting tier. It's only $1 a month. And of course, catch me live on Twitch a few days throughout the week playing games. Sometimes I might get up to 7 or 8 hours. Twitch.tv/JeffLane22.
You know, for a guy that was just getting on me for the length of the show, that was a pretty lengthy plug. Wouldn't you say?
No, I think it's normal. I rushed into it.
Guys, I just want to tell you, you've been asking us about the Firefly Funhouse. We're going to watch it. I'm not seeing it. Jeff, you haven't seen it, right?
I have.
Oh, you have seen it. Okay, well, yes. I am.
It's the only thing. Yeah, it's the only thing I watched from Russ. Everybody was talking about it. I had to see what the hell they were talking about.
Okay, well, so yes, I'm going to watch it for the very first time. You're going to get my knee-jerk reactions for the very first time. We're going to do that on patreon.com/VinceRusso. Nope. patreon.com/RussoTWC. You'll see me talk all about it, watching it for the first time. Guys, check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/VinceRusso. Is it forward slash?
Yes.
twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. That is it, everybody. Check out the brand, bro, because our agenda is we want you. See you later, guys.